Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we conclude our preaching series on the book of Acts. The book begins with Jesus commissioning his disciples to be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. It is a recording of the Spirit at work, calling people to follow Jesus and be the church, showing us that the church grows in some of the most unlikely places and circumstances. And that's exactly where the book ends. In another unlikely, imperfect circumstance with Paul under house arrest in Rome. Paul is the chief persecutor of Jesus, who turns chief proclaimer of Jesus. And as Pastor Dixon just read, he lived in Rome for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It's an unfinished and unsettled way to end a book. And yet there is something really solid about it as well. And that's what I'd like to focus on today as we find ourselves in a similar place this week. Unsettled after the unimaginable event that took place in our community last Wednesday. What happened that day was traumatic, deeply painful, and deeply personal, and it is not something that we will just get over. So as you are here today, more than anything, I pray that you know that God is with you, for God promises to be close to the brokenhearted, and God is hope even in the most unimaginable, gut-wrenching moments. Those things are important to hold us as we try to make sense of something as senseless as last Wednesday's events. Like Paul on house arrest, we are called to share the power that is brighter and bolder than any earthly power or fear. The Spirit calls us to be the church, which means we focus on God's persistent, unhindered work in the world through, one, the power of hospitality, through the kingdom of God, and through Jesus. First, the power of hospitality. Throughout Scripture and the early church, the mark of following Jesus is welcoming the stranger. It was customary to welcome strangers with the belief that they brought new gifts from God. In fact, the writer of Hebrews even said, "In welcoming strangers, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it." Paul, living at his own expense under house arrest, did just that. He welcomed all who came his way. And he showed that God's promise and revelation are most often brought through things that are unfamiliar, through things that we're not used to, through people who might be different than us. This is a central tenet of being church together, and yet to welcome strangers is becoming harder and harder as the world becomes more segmented and curated, more entrenched in us versus them thinking, more defined by social media groups of like-mindedness and algorithms that feed us more of what interests us. And when sameness, like-mindedness, and social media strength is the basis of our lives, the power of hospitality, of welcoming the stranger, is easily lost. Saint Benedict was the son of Roman nobility in the 6th century. He was known to live a rather wild life, but the Holy Spirit transformed him just as the Holy Spirit transforms every person that we read about in the book of Acts. And Benedict formed a community of believers now called the Benedictines. He called people of all demographics to live together and welcome the stranger as their central mission in following Christ. Joan Chittister says it well. She's a Benedictine nun or sister, and she says, guests bring the world in, place it at our feet, and dare us to be who and what we say we are. Essentially, guests make God's promises known, that God is here for us, and we are here for one another. In Scripture, God reveals God's self most often through unfamiliar things, not through what's familiar, but through strangers, and Paul shows us that today. Secondly, the Spirit focuses on the kingdom of God above all else. Today, there seems to be an increasing gap between people's perceived knowledge about the kingdom of God and their actual knowledge of what the kingdom of God is all about. For the growing number of people who haven't grown up with the church or have no church connection at all, it is easy to form opinions about what the kingdom of God is and what Christianity is based on how they see the church behaving. On social media posts or encounters with people who labeled themselves a certain way but actually proclaim something other than what Scripture tells us the kingdom of God is, which is the lion laying down with the lamb, which is the last being first, which is turning the world upside down, blessing those who are meek, those who are mourning, those who are peaceful. By showing us the cross seems like foolishness, but it is the very essence of what brings our salvation. It seems like foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the strength of our salvation to those who believe. Studies show us that many who have not grown up in the church see the church as judgmental and hypocritical. They align themselves with political and cultural things. They are actually maybe insular, exclusive, argumentative, hostile. But the Scripture tells us the kingdom of God is the absolute opposite. It's forgiving. It's aware of its mistakes. It confesses like we do every Sunday when we come to worship. It loves God and neighbor. It creates relationships, and it transforms us. It is focused on Jesus. It's not focused on laws or the ways we've always done things, but Jesus. Which brings me to my last point about Acts and the witness of Paul, the early church, and all of us today. The Holy Spirit calls us to Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, not just in what we say, but how we live. And this is not something we can conjure up on our own. After the events of last Wednesday, there are lots of questions around why someone would want to believe if a church, even a church, would be a target for violence. It just doesn't make sense. But the gift and grace is that it is not up to us to convince others. Today's passage says some are convinced while others refuse to believe. Martin Luther says it so well in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed when he says, I cannot by my own understanding or strength come to Jesus Christ or believe in him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The Holy Spirit works in us and through us to create faith, and this is nothing of our own doing, but simply the grace and love of Jesus Christ. And this is the foundation of the Reformation theology. As Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. The Apostle Paul knew this more acutely than most. As chief persecutor of the church, after his encounter with the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus, he became the chief proclaimer of Jesus, not through dominance, but through persistent, loving trust, meeting new people all the time, speaking to them in ways that they could relate, and doing things that made a difference. Because that is the way the kingdom of God in Jesus is known. Through persistent, loving trust, even when circumstances seem insurmountable, unbearable, and impossible to make sense of. Martin Luther is often attributed with a quote that has made the rounds for years, but I hear it might not actually be his. But he says, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would fall to pieces, I would still today plant a tree. They may not have been his words, but they are words of hope when things are bleak. And they call us to live lives of hope as well. because Jesus is the light that no darkness can overcome. Though the world will try to snuff out the power of Jesus, as we witnessed last week, the light of Jesus never fails. You heard me mention at our time of death, one of the deaths this week was 8-year-old Fletcher Merkel. Fletcher's a member of Mount Olivet. He was a victim of the shooting at Annunciation last week. I reached out to his grandpa, Ron Kalibi, who is a beloved member of Mount Olivet as well, who does our financial reports at every council meeting. And when I was able to reach him to offer my condolences and my heartbreak, he acknowledged the pain was indeed beyond anything he'd ever experienced. His worst nightmare. But you know what he said very next thing? He said in the very next breath, on the very next day, after the horrible tragedy, he said, "I just got back from giving blood. I wanted to put good out there today." That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. Jesus Christ is good news. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. And that is our call as people of God, to proclaim Jesus by putting good out there, as Ron so powerfully shared. May you all know the grace of God deep in your hearts. The grace that allows you to love, the grace that allows you to forgive, the grace that allows you to live. And when the world seems especially dark, know that you are indeed witnesses to God's love and God's goodness in Jerusalem and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. Thanks be to God for you, the church, and thanks be to God. Amen.